Our scripture this morning comes from the New Testament book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. We'll be reading from the first chapter, right at the beginning, verses 1 through 11. Familiar words, I think, but as we finish the Easter season and resurrection and move towards Pentecost, this is a reading that will help us to walk that road. So I invite you to listen for any words that speak to you in particular, or words that you hear for our church. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel? He replied, It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Now may God bless our hearing and our receiving of these holy scriptures. Well, were any of these words or phrases able to speak to you in particular this morning? Sharon. John the Baptist baptized with water, but now you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And we will be celebrating that next week. Anything else? Shannon. We're not to know God's timing. Yeah, that's hard, isn't it? Yeah. Ruby. Jesus will come in the same way that you saw him go up to heaven, to the apostles. Well, let the words of my mouth then, the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Why do you stand looking up toward heaven? Now, if you've been around teenagers, or been one at some time, you can imagine this picture. I was driving one of the church vans with 12 youth and one other adult. We had left Enid, Oklahoma, and were headed to San Antonio, Texas, for a mission trip. About 4 hours into our 12-hour drive, I heard, "Are we almost there yet?" Not long after, I heard, "How much further?" Then I heard, "Are we there yet?" And so it went. I tried to ignore it until it just got too irritating. With the next, "Are we almost there?" I answered, with 6 more hours of driving time to go, "We're close enough to walk. Do you want out now?" Are we almost there? It is the question for the ages. In fact, there's a whole category of theological study about this question. It's called eschatology and is often called the study of end times. It includes a study of apocalyptic scriptures and other literature like the book of Revelation, and it often has led to misunderstandings as people have used it to try and predict the future or to describe heaven or hell. But what eschatology really means is that we know how the story ends. Very simply, God wins. God wins. Oh yes, and when we align ourselves with God's purposes, we win too. That's how the story ends. This is our hope for the future. But this is also our hope for today, because when we align ourselves with God's purposes, we are on the winning team already. We can already begin to enjoy the fruits of God's kingdom even today. Now, we really should not be worrying about when Jesus will return, when the resurrection will happen, when God's purposes, bringing all creation back into relationship with Him, will finally be completed, because Jesus told us not to worry about the future. But we just can't help asking, are we almost there? So a poll question. How many, when you've looked around at our world's occurrences, have asked, "Is Jesus coming back soon?" We're not the first to ask that question, though. In fact, that's really what the question that the disciples were asking in our scripture. "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? Are we there yet?" Of course, they were still assuming that God's purposes included restoring the kingdom of Israel. Funny, a lot of folks today still make that mistake. The New Jerusalem surely will be much different from the one of Jesus' day, and today's version too, I suspect. Our question in the church is more likely, "Lord, is this the time when you restore the church?" Anybody asking that question? Yeah. We make the mistake, though, of assuming that God's purposes are the same as the church's purposes. That is my prayer, and I'm sure your prayer too, but the other way around. I pray that our purposes as a church will align with God's purposes, because God has invited us to play on His team. But it is up to us to learn the playbook, to get out onto the playing field and work for God's plan for the entire world. I'm kind of picturing baseball in the game, but you can picture soccer or whichever sport, or just God's kingdom at work around us, and particularly in our own neighborhood. In recent weeks, I've been talking a little bit about resurrection. Jesus' resurrection, His second coming, and the resurrection of us all, spirit and body. It's good to know that we don't have to wait until all of this happens before we can begin to enjoy the fruits of God's kingdom on earth. That there is something we can do today to anticipate and participate in the culmination of God's purposes. That is really exciting to me. But where does Jesus fit into all of this in the meantime? In fact, where is Jesus right now? Where did he go when he ascended into heaven, into that cloud we read about? Don't you want to know? I sure do. And I'm going to rely on N.T. Wright, world-renowned theologian, writer, and pastor, because he helps me to ask the right questions and sometimes catch a glimpse of some of the answers. He also is an authority about the early church and how those early Christians really thought. Now, N.T. Wright suggests that the early Christians did not think of heaven and earth as two different locations in some three-dimensional map or calendar. Heaven and earth, in his words, are two different dimensions of God's one creation. Think of that. God's creation was of heaven and earth. Heaven exists alongside the earth, where the one who is in heaven can be present simultaneously anywhere and everywhere on earth. Which now you can picture Jesus' ascension was necessary so that Jesus was then available to go anywhere on earth. And people don't have to travel to go be where Jesus is or be in any particular place. As the Lord of heaven and earth, Jesus in his resurrected body sits at the controls of all of God's kingdom in heaven and on earth. I can't help but do this for heaven and this for earth. But I'm telling you the opposite, that we're surrounded by both at the same time. As Jesus said at the end of Matthew, he said, "All authority is given to me in heaven and on earth." Now, a picture that might be helpful for you, for those of you who don't read science fiction novels, this could be a little challenging, and we really don't know exactly how it all works, but N.T. Wright's picture works with the teachings of Jesus and the Bible, and also the beliefs of the early church. Now, I'm thinking about the movie. Did anybody see the movies of C.S. Lewis' Narnia books? Witch in the Wardrobe? There was a couple of them that were turned into movies. Or perhaps you read the books. I think they give a picture that helps us to kind of get an image of what this would look like. In the books, the children access the other dimension through a wardrobe closet. Both dimensions continue separately, but have influence on each other. Now, I recommend those movies if you haven't seen them, but again, why is it important for us to consider heaven and earth and togetherness? And what if we don't have an acceptable understanding of where Jesus is right now and how he's able to access and influence our world? If we don't understand that, then it's likely, and I think a lot of folks do, end up with a very spiritualistic understanding of heaven and a non-spiritual understanding of earth. So they do this and this, instead of having an understanding of this intermingling, of a parallel path that they both are moving forward towards God's purposes. And when we think of the church, this also can lead to an understanding of our mission as a church as being purely earthly, putting the church into even the Savior role of making the changes ourselves rather than relying on Jesus. It opens a door for skeptics that might think of Jesus as just a spiritual metaphor with no power or influence and no reason for a second coming and really no hope for the future. Jesus, with a physical, possibly enhanced body, we can picture that as being literally the Lord in charge of both heaven and earth, as the Bible tells us. Jesus can pass through the thin veil that the early church understood divided heaven and earth and life from death. In fact, we still today have in Celtic spirituality an intriguing understanding of thin places that exist on earth and in our lives, where heaven seems to be just a little bit closer and more accessible on earth. Many people think of churches as being those thin places, but other religious sites as well, and many people find nature, special places in nature, as being places where they feel God's presence just a little bit closer. But we can draw near to heaven in this life as God's kingdom grows and overlaps more and more with our earthly existence. The mysteries of resurrection, of Jesus' ascension, of his second coming, of our earth bodily resurrection someday, they all leave room for us to wonder and to read and study the scriptures, but most importantly, to put our trust in God. Are we almost there? That remains a good question. Will Jesus return soon? More important, I think, as we ask the question, are we almost there, is, are we almost aligned in our lives and as a church with God's ultimate purposes? Are we almost serving as Christ's witnesses in Jerusalem and Samaria and to the ends of the earth? Are we almost waiting for the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon us? Are we almost letting Jesus be Lord of our lives and through the Holy Spirit guide us and empower us to accomplish God's purposes? Or are we just standing like those disciples looking up toward heaven and asking, are we almost there? Remember that the angels told them, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come the same way as you saw him go into heaven. This Jesus is resurrected. He's alive. And he is actively at work through the Holy Spirit and through the church, accomplishing God's purposes, building God's kingdom right here on earth. That's good news. Good news that God's purposes don't depend on our almost perfect church or almost perfect people. Jesus builds the kingdom. Are we almost there? Who knows? But can we join in those purposes today? Can we know that our labor will not be in vain? We read about that last week. Because Jesus is in charge. Jesus is Lord, in charge of heaven and earth. The victory is already won, and we get to be on the winning side, God's side. So what do you think? Are we almost there? take-home question. How is the resurrected Jesus at work through your life and through this church as we gather together? Will you pray with me? Strong and loving, ever-present God, we're grateful for your presence here among us. We stand, sit, we breathe in your presence, and we breathe in your love so that we can breathe and act out your love as we go out into the world. We give you thanks for the way you have worked in this, your creation. What a gift it is that you've given us, but not left us. You continue to walk with us and guide us through life, often difficult life on this earth, guiding us toward growing understanding and acceptance of your presence and your love, and the sharing of that love with all those around us. One day, we know that your purposes will be complete and we will be a part of that. What a joy that day will be. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.